Matt Simons, Catch and Release, Dermot and Dave on Today FM. 53102 if you want to get in touch today by text. And you can Snapchat us, Dermot and Dave on Snapchat. And that's what Ali Mulville has done. She has sent us a snap of her, says, when the Leaving Cert tries to ruin the heatwave for you, but you have other plans. And she has all her exam papers she's correcting sitting outside. And she's ticking away.
So we have a mad glare off them now. Are they white? Are they that kind of exam?
Sorry, no, it's actually, it's such a small picture. I'm trying to work out, is the Leaving Cert still on? It is still on, isn't it?
Yeah. It sure is.
No. She's studying. Sorry, I thought you were correcting. No, she's still studying.
Yeah. Are we into the kind of the weird subjects now?
Yeah. Latin and
technical drawing and insect appreciation. I did pass, by the way. That's a key rogue. Well done, Dermot. Your Leaving Cert is over.
Entomology, by the way, Dermot's well done.
There's a new documentary, looks fascinating, kicking off on RTE2 tonight, and it's being hosted by a bit of a legend, it's fair to say. 3 All-Ireland medals this chap has. Bit of a Kerry legend, captain of 2004. Daryl Caneja, how's it going?
Not too bad, although I doubt they'd call you a legend down in Kerry with the 3 medals, lads.
No, really, that's not quite enough.
It's kind of mid-table, lower-table respectability, that's about it, yeah.
That's a sad state of affairs, and you got 3 of them on the mantelpiece, and it's not enough.
Well, it's enough for me.
Do you have any one that stands out of the 3?
I think everybody talks about their first one. It's 20 years ago this year.
97, Gary.
Yeah. And that probably is the one that with the happiest memories, because it was kind of a sense of deliverance. You know, that I think there was a time there in Kerry where we thought we mightn't get to win one, but when it did eventually arrive 20 years ago, they haven't stopped since.
Yeah. Well, you'd only been playing, I suppose, senior football at that time, not that long, so you must have thought, God, these All-Ireland medals are really easy to come by.
Yeah, we had gone through about 3 or 4 years, which in Kerry I suppose would constitute a famine, and it was 11 years since Kerry had won their last one, but thankfully times have changed from a Kerry viewpoint. I'm sure other counties are sick of listening to us and hearing us talk about football, but there were bad years preceding 97 with Kerry until Paddy O'Shea came along and Maurice Fitzgerald and all these lads delivered on the big stage finally.
Is there any match that you'd like to have another crack at if you could replay it?
I think footballers and hurlers tend not to regret things like that. You regret the things that you didn't do. We lost big games by kick of a ball to Armagh in 2002, to Tyrone in 2005, and subsequently. But we were always, in fairness, I think everybody in Kerry will say you're beaten by the better team on the day. And would you have done things differently? I think it's in their thought process as footballers and hurlers, just keep moving on, next, whether it's county championship, county league, or inter-county stuff.
Well, speaking of doing things differently, the game has certainly changed in the 10 or so years since you've retired, and particularly the work that goes into everything behind the scenes. And is that the core kind of thrust of your GAA NUA documentary that starts tonight?
It has. It is indeed. The last couple of years have been told constantly, look, the game has changed, and I'd be one of many people, ex-players, commenting on the game, and maybe from a position of the armchair or in the terrace, and not exactly knowing what's going on in terms of the advancements that are happening within the dressing room and in preparation. And a couple of us, just over a year ago, would have got together and said, listen, we need to explore this, we need to find out. We all know, we can see with our 2 eyes that the games are changing. But how and what's causing this change, and what effect does science and technology in particular have on these change on the games at the moment? What influence are they bringing to bear in the dressing room and in preparation and on match day?
Well, let's look into that a little bit. So GPS is one of the things that's used. Tell us about that.
Well, I think anybody that's watching games at the moment is familiar with it, with the way jerseys are set up at the moment, and the little lump out the back of a GAA jersey or
between the shoulder blades.
And there's a little compartment there where they fit their GPS machines in, and there are people analysing what kind of runs people make, when they run, when players run, how much they run. I think on a very fundamental and a basic level, they're telling you how many kilometres a player can run in a game. But I think there's more data available now in terms of what types of run and what pace they're running at.
There's nowhere to hide now on the pitch.
Well, that's it really, I suppose. The players now more than ever, and we kind of knew that anyway, I suppose, because there's so much media coverage of our games. games at the moment that, you know, everything is on camera. But there's even more now, there's, you know, during the week or during the game, there's somebody with a laptop up in the stand saying, this guy isn't running enough.
Right.
And I think maybe GPS has arrived at a stage now where people are saying, what value is it? I mean, that's been a common thread right across the board that we've been getting from people contributing to this programme. Yes, there's a load of data available. Yes, there's a load of information available to people now. But it's what the human being does with that information is what's important. And I think that's where the skill comes into it.
Yeah, because we had Bernard Brogan chatting to us there last week, and he was saying that one of the kind of banes of their lives is the video analysis and sitting in a room with your peers, and you know that the bit is coming up where you made the mistake that gave away the goal, or you didn't take your chance or whatever it is, and you have to sit there and kind of watch it with everybody and go, yeah, I messed up. And
yeah,
I mean, that has to be useful, I suppose, you know, in terms of analysing and seeing where things went wrong, but it must be painful to be on the end of that.
It's an unforgiving environment in there, you know, in front of your peers being criticised to that extent and your faults laid bare right there and then. But it's unforgiving, yeah, but it's clinical and it's progressive, and it's also very, very helpful to the team, of course. I think that was there even in my time, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, video analysis. But what's happening now is all the players have apps on their phones, and at the touch of a button, they have, for example, in this programme, we have Tadhg De Burka, the Waterford hurler, showing exactly the amount of plays that he has made over the last three or four games, and what his opponent might do, or what habits his next opponent might have. That's available to all players now at the touch of a button on an app, where they can go in and say, listen, I'm marking Mr. X next week. What are his traits? What are his characteristics? And just press the button, and there you get to see how he behaves on the field.
He's a Sagittarius. He enjoys long walks. Get out there.
If only.
I'd say there's a lot of wives and girlfriends wouldn't mind that GPS tracking system.
Yeah.
Friday night when they're heading out with the lads.
I think uses for it as well. Yeah.
You said you were playing cards with the lads. Yeah. There's no card games in that strip club.
Well, there is no hiding place in the new world, is there?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, what about resources, though, across the GAA? I mean, do all counties have the same access to the same technology?
In theory, they should have, but I suppose we all know the top counties, the successful counties, probably are better resourced than other counties. It's a population thing, it's a finance thing, but I think, you know, there's great encouragement maybe from how Donegal, and they were criticised at the time, and I would have been critical of their style at the time even, but how they managed to go from number 16, 17 in the country to number one in the space of 12 to 18 months was phenomenal. And a lot of that was perhaps down to the brilliance of Jim McGuinness, the good players that had lay dormant for a number of years in the county, but also, I suppose, to advances in science and in thinking. And, you know, in terms of their resources, Donegal wouldn't have been considered a well-resourced county.
Yeah.
But they obviously had, thankfully, and this is true to this day, that the brilliant individual, the human being on the sideline or on the pitch, still is central to it.
Yeah.
But the science and the technology is there to aid them at the moment. But in terms of resources, yeah, there is huge encouragement to be got from Donegal for other counties, because they weren't Donegal. I mean, the perception always is that Kerry, Dublin, Mayo, and I think the spending figures in GAA show from last year that Mayo would be particularly well-resourced, Kerry, Dublin, and the counties that you'd expect to be financially do spend a lot of money, but that could be spent on hotel rooms and travel expenses and stuff like that. It's not necessarily all spent on fancy gadgets and new gadgets. So in theory, this science and technology is available to many, many counties, whether they use it or not. And again, how they use it, that data is another question entirely.
How much do the big names, some of them you mentioned there, like the, you know, the Jim McGuinnesses and the Davy Fitz and these people, you know, Brian Cody's and all that, you know, over the last few years, how much have they actually embraced this technology? Or do you get the sense there are some individuals who almost try to push back a bit because they want to keep that old school hands-on approach?
There's probably nothing wrong with old school. You know, I mean, I suppose Brian Cody maybe has the name of being old school. I'm sure he embraces a certain amount of technology, but at the same time, and I think thankfully that is the message coming out of these programmes, that the brilliant manager with a brilliant instinct, with a great sense of the game, is still as relevant and perhaps more relevant today than ever before. The point the programmes would be making is this technology is there, it's arrived, it's available to counties in their preparation, and use of it what they want and what they may, and take from it what they want and what they may. There is a big industry built around it. It doesn't have to be big fancy fancy gadgets. For example, Kildare footballers, who've been very successful again at the weekend, their trainer is Cian O'Neill, who is a sports scientist himself and who, by his own admission, is a data geek and loves this information coming in. But one of the things that we see them using in the series is occlusion goggles, where a part of the eye, a part of your vision is occluded. It's come in from cricket and from other sports internationally, where these goggles increase your perception around the movement of the ball, when to go for the ball, when to grab the ball properly. And they're a simple product that are, you know, available quite cheaply online, you know. And
it's a bit like Luke Skywalker when he's trying to train with the lightsaber blind folded.
something similar.
You must sense the slitter.
Yeah, indeed, you must develop that sense for whether it's slitter or the O'Neill's football, one or the other. But you know, it doesn't have to be a big fancy gadget, and that's the message here. It's what you do with these gadgets and what you do with what's available to you at the moment in terms of what the industry is supplying.
And is it just this kind of data analysis stuff you're examining in the program, or do you go into other realms? Well, I know we spoke to Bernard about, like, some of the lads, say, for example, who'd work in Dublin but might play for, you know, Clare or Donegal or wherever, and they have these kind of giant trips to and from work and you know, to go and train in the evening and come back and getting home at 2 a.m. and back up for work again. Is it that stuff as well, or is it just technology?
It's well, the approach through the 4 program series was that it would be GA centred, it would be game centred, that we'd be on the sideline, and that you might get a glimpse of the science and technology that is in action in the background. But it's very much a GA program. We try to take it out of the labs, out of the white coats and spectacles, and onto the field, and get a sense of how it's being used more than anything else. We don't go, I don't think it would make for good TV if we went deep into the science behind the science, if you get me. I don't think that would work. What we're looking at is familiar faces, familiar teams that are being successful, that are embracing this science and technology, and how it's impacting upon them, how it's making their life easier, how it's making the individual player's life easier, how it's making the coach's life easier as a coach, and, you know, how data has been accrued. The first program deals specifically, the one that's going out tonight deals specifically with analysis. The next one is injuries and how science and technology is helping players recover faster. The third program in the series is very much specifically focused on the club and how clubs are starting to use this as well. And it's not about results. Resources there, you know, we all recognise, and anybody that's involved in GA clubs around the country, most of them wouldn't be well resourced, but there are opportunities there for them to use science and technology to help them prepare. And the fourth one then, the fourth programme, deals with the future. What direction are the games taking, and where can science, what are the possibilities, what's on the horizon? That's pretty much the gist of the series.
So is it also then just giant stories of you going, when I played GAA, we had to go to the match in our bare feet, and
it started off something like that, but thankfully moved away from that kind of thing. And thankfully, you know, the changes are, you know, it's a question I would have asked Eamon Fitzmaurice, the Kerry manager, for example. You know, a lot of ex-players say, I'm glad I'm not playing now. But the point that likes of Eamon Fitzmaurice and intercounty managers that are enjoying the game and are developing the game and are seeing the game evolve in front of their eyes are making is, you know, good athletes will be good athletes in any era. And, you know, there's nothing to say that a 42-year-old, if he was 22 now, wouldn't enjoy training a bit more. I think the big thing is that they're training a bit smarter. They have more information available to them. And it is probably more enjoyable for many of them, you know, because their lives are made easier. Yes, the scrutiny is more intense, but their lives are made that bit easier. They're not kind of swimming against the tide in terms of rewinding the tape the whole time and travelling big distances. Or if they do present at training and they tell the manager, look, I'm tired tonight, well, then they can see 100 different reasons why they should be tired, as opposed to thinking that they're not fit. And those kind of decisions are made easier then for management.
Well, come here, Darragh. You'll have one fan tuning in tonight. Katrina in Wexford's been on to us to say it's refreshing listening to GAA being discussed on Today FM on Monday morning. There's such a vast interest in it throughout all ages over the country. Like, more of it, please. We had a great weekend for our hurling fella. We hosted Cavan Club. 8,000 children took part. Up Wexford, says Katrina.
Yeah, Wexford are on the roll at the moment, aren't they, really?
Absolutely.
And it's great to see.
Brilliant. Well, look, Darragh, thanks for talking to us. Best luck with GAA New. It starts tonight on RTE2 and runs for the next 4 weeks, isn't it?
The 4 weeks. I think it's RTE1 actually at 7:30.
Oh, beg your pardon. Yeah, RTE1 half 7.
Half 7, yeah.
Sorry, RTE2 in front of me. Okay, Darragh, listen, thanks a million,
lads.
Cheers, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Darragh Kinnaird there, 3-time All-Ireland winner for Kerry, talking about his new show on RTE tonight. Should be a bit of crack. It is amazing, in fairness, that for an amateur sport to have that level of technology. And but it, yeah, as he was kind of hitting at there, I'd say there are some clubs and counties who feel they could be doing with a lot more of those kind of resources.
But also, as you said, the human element comes into it. I mean, you can have all the information you want, but it's motivating those players or training them a certain way, or you know, like that.
It's like you playing five-a-side. Like, we could tell you all about the opposition, but yeah, you will just goal hang for the entire match.
Goal hang my giant arse up against some defender. He won't be able to deal with me. I have the turning circle of a freight liner, but I'll eventually get around and knock one or two in. Yeah, that's the plan.
Eventually, or one or two will knock in off you.
Whatever it takes. Here's Disciples on My Mind. It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Text us on 53102 and email Dermot and Dave at todayfm.com. All I do every night is think about you.